How will we begin today with an overview of Sefer Vayikra that will include focusing in the end on Parshat Amos?
Parshat Call David Stahl.
What? Yes, I call David Stahl.
Parshat Call David Stahl.
Why?
Where?
Oh! He said Vayikra Be'im.
He said no, he said an overview of Vayikra.
He's stealing his thunder.
No, but remember you said come on Thursday.
So, Sefer Vayikra. How does Sefer Vayikra continue Sefer Shemot?
Mishkan related.
My being afterwards. Mishkan related. Okay, where were we at the end of Shemot? He built the Mishkan. We built the Mishkan. Now we're doing?
Stuff inside.
Stuff inside. I think that's correct, but I think it's sharper than that, and I'd like to show. What's interesting is if you look at the end of Sefer Shemot, not just if, I'd like to ask people to look at the end of Sefer Shemot. It says the Shekhinah has descended and the fire is there and everything is great, but there's one thing that's not yet happening, not yet ready to happen. It says Moshe can't come in. Why can't Moshe come in?
Because Hashem
Shekhinah is there. What's the very next pasuk in the Torah? Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. So you see how it continues. Now when Hashem calls him, what does he tell him? Yeshua said, and we're going to go a little deeper, tell him what needs to be done in the Mishkan. But again, like I'm saying, I think it's more than that. Because what's this continuation of the story? Where does the story that ended in the end of Sefer Shemot continue in Sefer Vayikra?
Shmini.
Which parak? You're close.
For the end of the top.
Oh, that would be close, right? where does the unit of the Korbanos end? Where does the unit of the Korbanos end? Perek? Bet? Well, Bet continues Korban, and then Gibel continues in Dalet.
There's
a new type of Korban. We're still talking about Korban, right? Where?
Where?
Yes.
Cut.
Where?
Cut.
You mean the beginning of Perek Chet is where it ends?
Where the next thing starts.
Where the next thing starts. In fact, let's look at the summary. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Zot HaTorah. La'ola, la'mincha, v'la'chata, v'la'asham, v'la'miluim, u'l'zevach ha'shlamim, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, b'yom tzavatot b'nei Yisrael, la'akriv et korbanahem, la'ashem b'b'ar Sinai. Does that sound like the summary of the discussion of korbanos?
Likely.
Well, it definitely sounds like it, and therefore it's likely that it is. It's not likely that it sounds that way. It sounds that way, right? It sounds like a duck or it doesn't sound like a duck, right? Perek Chet begins talking about what? Hashem tells Moshe to take the Kohanim and begin the process of what are known as the Shivat Yimei Miluim, the 7 days where the Kohanim are being inaugurated, where the Mishkan is being inaugurated. That's the continuation of the story that we had last heard of in the end of Sefer Shemot. The Mishkan is up, and now Hashem tells Moshe to bring the Kohanim forward and start inaugurating the Kohanim / Mishkan. Hear the slash? The line.
Oh, I didn't. I missed it.
I said Kohanim / Mishkan.
Oh.
It's better than saying Kohanim and Mishkan, right?
That just confused people.
Yaakov. Davar Sheinu Asuyim. These are Davar Sheinu Asuyim. Anyone listening to this on Morty Dubin's upload on Why Torah should just know that if you want to get jokes in one show, you have to listen to the one that I was given the day, that day, earlier. It's very confusing for people who are following. It's all connected. The Torah may not be, but the jokes are. In any case, so the 7 day process is a continuation of the story before. Now, what Shaul Yaakov was saying earlier, he said close, is that Shmini is the 8th day of that process, right? It's the continuation of the story that began here. Now, why is it? Let's think carefully now to go a little deeper. I'm sure. A little Chaim Shor. We don't get Chaim. Okay. When you realize this, you ask the following question: how do the prakim of Aleph through Zion serve as a transition, necessary transition, to get from the end of Shemot to Perek Chet?
You can't inaugurate the Mishkan if you don't know what you do in the Mishkan.
In the inauguration, right? The inauguration is going to include Korbanot. So it's not just, as Shua said before, we don't know what to do in the Mishkan. But we don't even know what to do, meaning in order to get to the 7 day process, we need to first talk about the Korbanot. Now, what's interesting is that the korbanot include within them discussions about specific korbanot for kohanim, the miluim, what it's called, right? The miluim. Now, why would this unit of korban include a korban that is unique to the korohanim? Because it's leading into and necessitated by the next discussion, which is going to be about the korban brought by for the kohanim, right? Okay. Yes.
Does the word mean loyim do anything with the idea of being loyim? Like, what's the word mean?
The country of Israel chose this word from the Torah,
saying, "What is the word?"
With the assumption that this was time when the Kohanim were practicing, and the Elohim initially in the army were meant to be a time to practice for war. You look here carefully; doesn't seem the Kohanim were practicing. It looks more like an inauguration. But that's a separate point. Okay, just for a second to talk a little bit about the first seven prakim before we glaze over them and move on. What people may not realize is that it's more than first meets the eye. And I think you can see this by contrasting the end of the korbanot that we just read, right, what's likely the end of the korbanot, to the introduction to the korbanot. Let's read the introduction to the korbanot. I'm going to go back to Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. What does it say? Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. What about that introductory pasuk doesn't fit, or seem to fit, with the concluding sukkah we read before?
Vayikra. He's there.
I don't know. Yeah, why is that a problem?
Why the Olmoy?
All you got to do is put left together with Shif, and you got it. It begins the list of Korbanot by saying that it was given in the Olmoy, and ends, as we saw in the end of Perek Zion, by saying they were given. That's different, right? Yes.
The Korbanot from the mission is supposed to be almost a continuation.
Very nice. But where were they told over?
I mean,
It just set off bells, right?
I mean, it could have been.
You tell me. What?
Could have been like next.
So there are those who suggest that it means the Olam Moed on Har Sinai. Of course, what's the ultimate problem? If it means the same thing, should have said the same thing. Either say Olam Moed, say Har Sinai. Why do you start with one and end with the other? I'm not saying there aren't answers, but there's one answer that actually is more than just speculation, but has basis in the text itself, and that is that the reason the conclusion is different than the introduction is because the conclusion is not finishing the piece that the introduction introduced. And the introduction is not introducing the piece that the conclusion is concluding. Or in other words, easier words, there are two lists. Now, that is an interesting theory, which happens to be even more interesting because there are two lists. Irrespective of whether this is the answer for the question we began with, let's notice that there are two lists. Easy to see in Vayikra because each perek is a new korban, right? How does the parasha of Vayikra begin? Karban. Ola. Next, Perek Bet.
Mincha.
Mincha. Perek Gimel.
Ola.
Ola. No, that was Alice. Gimel. Shlamin. Perek Dalet.
Chadas.
Chadas. Perek Hey.
Asham.
Asham. A little confusing at first glance, but in any case, simple. Then we get the Parshat Tzav, right? Parshat Tzav begins Perek Vav. Okay, what's the new thing we're talking about in Parshat Tzav? No, look at the beginning. What does it introduce you to? No. Ola. Zot Torah Ta'ola. Right?
Right.
The next section begins Zot Torah Mincha. Wait a second. I've heard these somewhere before.
Deja vu all over again.
Deja vu what?
The Shabbaton at the end of the first one.
I talked about this?
Yes.
What? I gave this year.
Yeah. Well, part.
Why don't you tell me?
No, not the part you gave before. It's like this particular piece you gave.
Zeiter. So it really is deja vu all over again.
You didn't explain all Moed and
Sinai. That's true. Okay.
But I explained the order of the Korban from the difference. Let's continue.
Yeah.
And those who don't have, those who don't come to Yeshiva Shabbatons, or happen to be anywhere in the world and weren't in Shana Aleph this year, so too bad. You know, you gotta be there. That's it. Finished. You can't just listen to things on internet. Okay, let's continue now in Perek Chet and Tet. So we saw the story in Perek Chet and Tet, which builds off of the Korban, as we saw, right? To a very large extent, Perek Tet is the climax that we've been waiting for, right? The Mishkan, the Shekhinah, descends the Mishkan in a real way, in the form of fire. It confirms the efforts of the Jewish people. The Jewish people put their Korbanot on the Mizbeach, and then the fire comes down from heaven and consumes it, which is a real way of showing acceptance for sure. And I think this is why, by the way, there's a mitzvah / iser to let the fire go back out on the Mizbeach. The fire must be maintained on the Mizbeach. And I think if you think about it, because the fire is that initial fire from heaven. Right, so we want to keep it going because that's representative of God's Shekhinah in the Mishkan, right? Okay. The key question, I think, in the rest of Sefer Yirka, which includes Parshat Emor, is how we get there. We're talking about the Mishkan, we're talking about Karbanot. Everything up to this point in the Torah makes sense. It's a continuation of a story. Now, all of a sudden, in the end of Parshat Shemini, we start speaking about... I'm waiting for someone to say the word. Oh, we'll get there in a second. But the end of Parshat Shemini, we start talking about... Oh, I was waiting for someone to say the word kosher animals. And it's so interesting that we use that word because it doesn't appear in the Torah. The word not kosher doesn't appear either, right? What? Animals that are Torah and Tameh. Now, why do we use the word kosher? Because today, the Torah and Tameh aspect doesn't matter as much. If we use a different word to talk about something that you're allowed to eat or not allowed to eat. But really, the Torah is talking about it from the perspective that says you're not allowed to eat it. But you're not allowed to eat because it's Tameh, not because it's not kosher. Now, the obvious question is, how do we get there? Why do we start speaking about this? And it gets even more confusing when you talk about Tazria and Mitzvah. How do we get to the Tana? Maybe we're so used to it. There's no order in the Torah. It's just sprinkled around. So, okay, now we're talking about this. Fine. How do we start talking about Anida, Yoledes, and Mitzvah? Strange, no? Do you agree that's strange? Yes?
There's a theme of that all being like Torah, not Tana.
How do we get to the theme of Torah versus Tana? You are right in saying that all the things that don't seem to belong are connected to each other. Correct. Now, why are they here? Now, Svi already gave the answer. Svi is ahead of himself. Man ahead of his own time. A man ahead of his own time. The... Because he's writing Yalmozer, which obviously moved him ahead in many ways. Did he... Would you want one, two, or three? Now, how far did you...
I only did Shana'al.
Do they have, like, you know, Rebam go around the end of Shana'al? Should I make Shana'al? Do that? Should wear a hat? Should we wear David Crowley?
If their numbers are down, they could
just... You should kill a squirrel and, you know, make a hat out of it for yourself. You know, should wear your robes out. I don't know, you know. Should put down the other camp. You know, I don't know. It would, however it would be. In any case... Shmuel. When I was a kid, you used to watch the Muppet Show. You guys have seen the Muppet Show?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the Muppet Show, and there are a lot of good parts.
Muppets movie.
What?
They made a new Muppets movie.
Oh yes. My favorite character is Animal. But in any case, my favorite part of Muppet Show would be they would have like General Hospital, and then all of a sudden there would be like the TV voice. Tune in next week.
All characters, stop looking around.
They make fun of it, like, you know, you have a voice. It's never, so the characters happen, they don't hear it. Tune in next week. In any case, getting back to the point, there was a point. Tahara, Tumah V'Tahara, Shana Bet and Yalozi, right? Svi left ahead of his time. And that brings us back to Doh. It brings us back to Shmi Tazir Mitzvah, Tumah V'Tahara. Svi said earlier that the end of Parshat Shmini is Nadav V'Navim. Now, that's not the end of Parshat Shmini, that's the middle of Parshat Shmini. And I mean it because this is Reprakim, Tet Yud and Yud Aleph. So it's fair to say that it's the middle, right?
Yeah.
The climax of Perek Tet, which is the Shekhinah revealing itself to the Jewish people, and let's tune in there. In the beginning of the Perek, Moshe says the whole people should come, not just the Kohanim, because today God will appear to you, right? There's Birchas Kohanim, Aaron and Moshe come out right before Shlishi, and it says, Vayeru Tvod Hashem al Kol Ha'am. Very similar to what we had in Sefer Shemot with the eagle, right? Vayitein Hashem Moshe Chalato Daber Ito. Har Sinai Shtein Luchot Avanim, right? And the next pasuk, the Jews are doing the eagle. Here we have the fire of God. Vayichu v'nei Aaron v'nei Moshe Madov v'nei Nesh. Now, the fire isn't consuming the korban, it's consuming... So I'm going to show you the relationship, right? So that great climax has a real fall. What I'd like to show you is how this fall and this event of Nadav V'Navihu explains the continuation of Sefer Yikra, including this week's parsha, which we may get up to. Let's see how. What happens after this terrible tragedy? What's the first thing that happens? Sorry? Clean up. We got to clean up the mess, right? And they should have availus. They should eat the korbanos. They shouldn't eat the korbanos, right? Now, the truth is you're not remembering 100% correctly, Shmuel. Because if you take a look carefully here, after it happens, Pasuk Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zayin. That's the first little section until the break, right? What happens there? Moshe explains it. Moshe tells them briefs that are taken out, right? And then he tells them to keep doing the avodah, right? But where does he tell them? Where does he tell them to finish cleaning up, to finish the avodah? Skip to Pasuk Yud-Bet for a second. In Pasuk Yud-Bet, he continues telling them what to do. Moshe tells Aaron, Elazar, Itamar, the banav hanotarim, take the mincha hanotaret. Interesting parallel, right? Eat it. Kikadosh kodeshim hi. Eat him a kom kadosh. Tells them how to continue doing things, right? And then he says, why was the korban not eating? That's the rest of the parah. But what's interesting is to see what's inserted right in the middle of the story. In between Pesukim Dalet Hey Vav Zayin and Pesukim Yud Bet Yud Gimel and On. What's inserted? Yes, Pesukim Ches Vav Dalet. Okay, well, what are they about? What's it doing here? Now, of course, how did Chazal answer that question? What's it doing here? Imagine Pshat, what's it doing here? Well, we're not up to that yet. We'll get to it in a minute. He tells Aaron, and interestingly, it's told to Aaron, don't drink before you do the avodah.
So you don't die.
Because you have an important job, you shouldn't die. And your role is, Pasuk Yud, lehavdil ben hakodesh ben hachol, ubein hatameh ubein hatahor, ulehorot et bnei Yisrael et kol chukim asher diber Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe. Of course, Chazal learned from the juxtaposition of these psukim that not only you're not allowed to drink before you do the avodah, you're not allowed to drink before. You don't learn from these psukim. You're not allowed to drink before. Lahavdil ben hakodesh ben hachol. Before you paskin. Before you teach Torah. Particularly Pesach Halacha. Why are we talking about all these things? Let me show you something very interesting. You guys want to see something very interesting? We read the psukim one more time. This time, pay attention. You ready? Pasuk Yud. Ulahavdil ben hakodesh ben hachol uven hatameh uven hatahor. Ulahorot et bnei Yisrael et kol hachukim. Everyone sees it? The next parak is parak Yudal. It talks about Torah animals and tummy animals, right? Let's read the conclusion of the parak. Conclusion of the parsha. Parak Yudal pasuk mem vav. Zot torat ha-behema ve-ha-of kol nefesh ha-chaya ha-romeset v-mayim ul-chol nefesh ha-shoretet al-haaretz. Anyone read pasuk mem zayin? Remind you of anything, Yaakov? Does, eh? I figured it would. Now, what was the other verb that was used after it said lavdil? One second. What was the other verb that was used?
Lorot.
Let's look at Parshat Tashri'a Mitzorah now, just one second. Let's look at the end of the discussion of Mitzorah. End of Perek Yudalit. Summary of Taras. Chamishi. Yudalit Nun Dalit. Zot Torah l'chol mer ha-tarat v'lanatek. U'l'tarat ha-beged v'labayet. V'laseit v'lasapachet v'labaharet. Pasuk Nun Zayin. Oh my God.
Wow.
Shal Yaakov, coincidence?
I think not.
I don't think so. Jeremy, coincidence? I don't think so. I think we're going to see in Jeremy's Dvar Torah this week. Coincidence?
It's like next year. So.
Next year, Tazir Mitzvah. In any case, getting back to the point, you can just say, this was such a good idea, I wanted to mention it, even though it's not in this week's parasha. Anyway, getting back to the point, well, actually, it's this week's parasha. Chutzlart. That's such a wonderful thing. You can learn the parsha and send it out next week. You should keep it that way forever, right? You know why? They live in Chutzlart. They shouldn't be laying any parsha. They should be laying the parsha of Avodah every week. You should be doing it every week. Why not? Everyone knows I'm joking. Good time. Okay, we're getting back to the point. Up till now, it was right at the border. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. Okay.
Well, now we
deserve to be able to speak. You know.
Now we can just say whatever we want.
Ah, that's it. Now, in case there's a question, I want you to know Morty has been holding up cards the whole year, telling me what to say. This is all Morty Dubin's work. Okay, anyway, getting back to the book. Getting back to the point. So one thing is to show, even before we explain it, there's a clear association between the psukim we saw right after Nadav Avihu and what comes next. And I think the explanation is, now I'm going to give my explanation on it. The Kohanim Nadav Avihu made a mistake in dealing with the Mishkan, right? Paid for it very severely. By the way, what was the mistake? Yashalotzi v'Hashem, but in principle. We are meant to maintain the fire, not... Yeah, I was going to say not start the fire. Just because.
You just
start the fire, yeah. That's true, it doesn't really fit, because it wasn't just starting the fire, it was adding to the fire. And you're right, there's no song about it. Meaning, it should be. Meaning, we are meant to maintain God's fire. We don't mix our fire with God's fire. Anyways, getting back to the point, they made a mistake, paid for their lives. The rest of the Kohanim now become responsible to make sure that these kind of things don't happen again. Like people who are Tamei, Tahor, the whole issue of Tumah Vitara is important for entering and not entering the Mishkan. And by the way, if you look at the end of Mitzorah, it actually specifies this when the whole unit of Tumah Vitara ends, the end of Mitzorah. It says, Maftir, Perek Tedvav, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, after it talks about the Tzmein, V'hizartem et v'nei Yisrael mitumatam. Right? Be careful, help, warn the Jewish people about their Tumah V'lo Yamutu b'tumatam b'tamam et mishkani yashev et ocham. The Kohanim have a central role to play here regarding issues of Tumah V'tara. Of course, those who are looking at it carefully would wonder why the Torah uses two different verbs, lahavdil and lahorot. And the answer, obviously, would you'd be able to find in appreciating the difference between the two contexts in which those verbs are applied. The lahavdil verb is applied to the animals and the lahorot verb is applied to human beings. And the biggest difference in the role of the Kohen in both places is that by animals he doesn't make anything tamei v'tahor. All he does is clarify, establish, right, teach. The animal isn't tamei because the Kohen said it's tamei. The Kohen clarifies, right? By all of the tameim that are human beings in Tazria Mitzorah, the Kohen plays a role, at least in being metaher, through the korbanos. And in one case, even in creating, in not just clarifying, but establishing slash creating the tumah. Where's that? Mitzorah. V'timei HaKohen, V'tiher HaKohen, etc. So this is how talking Yud Aleph through Tesvav connect back to the death of Nagodia. Now the question is, how do we get to the rest of Sefer Yikra? This should be much easier to answer, right?
Well, the next part starts with how to not die.
So, which section is connected to Mot Bnei Aaron? Yud Aleph through Tetvav, or Parshat Achrei Mot Tet Zayin and On?
Both.
How does the Torah show that two sections are connected? They can't go like this. How does it show it? Yeah. It tells you one, which is connected because it comes afterwards, and then when it gets to the second, it reconnects it, right? And Shaul Yaakov said it correctly. The first section is telling you how to make sure, you know, not to enter incorrectly. The second section is telling you
how to enter correctly.
That you should enter. Right? How to enter correctly. And that's Perek Tetzayin, the beginning of Parshat Achrei Mot. Now the question is, how do we get from there? And of course, each of these prakim has a lot to talk about, right? We're not doing that because Morty's not putting it up, so it doesn't matter. We're not doing that. I'm doing that because we're trying to get ahead. Now, how do we get from the Avodas Yom Kippurim entering into the Mishkan to the rest of Sefer Vayikra, which is about things that seem totally exactly? Then I'm not agreeing to that they're miscellaneous, but I'm agreeing that they're not connected or don't seem to be connected. They're likely
disconnected.
They're not likely disconnected. They actually are connected. They just seem disconnected. There's a very interesting transition that takes place here in Perek Yud Zayin. What's Perek Yud Zayin about? Oh, I don't know, stuff we don't care about.
Kisui Adam, Shkita, Pigol.
The common denominator, by the way, about Perek Yud Zayin, which we're not talking about, is that it all deals with Dam. When you're shefting outside the Mishkan incorrectly, it's like murder, it's Dam Shafach. Right? It's respecting the life and, you know, taking the life correctly. But I think the transition from Avodas Yom Kippurim to issues that have to do with outside the Mishkan takes place particularly through the issue of Shchut Echutz, which is the first topic spoken about in Perek Yud Zayin, not to shecht outside the Mishkan. It has a very interesting implication / reason spin that's given in Pasuk Zayin to justify Shchut Echutz. It says, I'm not doing it. V'lo yizbechu od et zivcheyem la'seirim asher hem zonim achareyem. Who are these seirim that the Jewish people are going off the derech because of? Seirim? Let me answer the questions better. Where do we find a seer that is shechted outside the Mishkan?
Seer is right before.
And you can imagine how people might see that as a model for kapara, something that's outside the Mishkan, right? So we take the Brit Kippur, which is the Mishkan, and then we talk about how it extends out and the implications for out. And that's how we get to the rest of Sefer Vayikra, which has to do with mostly with things that are out, but not just, okay, in, out, that's a cute pervert, but things that are conceptually connected, as we'll soon see, but moving from the things that are one side of the concept but inside to things that are the other side of the concept but outside. How are the things in the rest of Sefer Vayikra, the other side of the concept, how are they conceptually connected? Anyone remember from last week, Perek Yud-Chet? Exactly. Meaning, up to Perek Yud-Chet, we're talking about things that have to do with the Mishkan. We talked about Tumah V'Tahara in the Mishkan. And I would have thought that the only implication of Tumah V'Tahara has to do with entering and entering the Mishkan, right? Now we're applying the notion of Tumah to things that are out of the Mishkan, and certainly have nothing to do with it. At least I would have thought they had nothing to do with it. Just to give a brief overview of Perek Yud-Chet, it's about what?
Okay.
It does mention, oh well, if maybe Taras Mishpacha in the broader sense of the word. Today, Taras Mishpacha is used to refer to Nida. And there's one pasuk about Nida. Most of the pasukim are about Araya, which I guess you could call Taras Mishpacha, right? Couldn't say no, but could say yes.
That's nicer to say it as a good phrase for Taras Mishpacha, considering that's where we're sort of driving.
Right, I'm saying, that's what you meant. Then, okay. Generally not the phrase that's used for them. Now, the truth is that's correct and incorrect at the same time. Because the introduction and conclusion of the perek don't talk about that. In the beginning of the paragraph, it sounds like it's about. Sorry?
Don't follow the ways of the
Goyim. Don't follow the ways of the Goyim, right? This is the source. And if you look at the end of the paragraph also, paragraph you've said, it comes back to that, right? Right? Don't do the ways of the Goyim. The explanation, obviously, is that the arayot are the best expression of the things not to. Learn from the Goyim. Now the fact that the Torah introduces us to the list of Arayot with more than just saying don't do these Arayot, but saying don't follow the ways of the Goyim, we learn from here that one should not follow the ways of the Goyim even in other areas too, right? But the reason it couches these halachot with those phrases is because these halachot, I guess, were examples of things that the Goyim did wrong. But the most significant difference between the introduction and the conclusion is that even though both of them say don't do like the Goyim, the conclusion uses a particular adjective to describe the problem, or adverb, with the things, these kind of things. That's used once, regarding one, not in the conclusion. You said it before, Morty. Tumah. In fact, if you look at the beginning of the list of Arayot, it doesn't really say much about, you know, evaluating these relationships. It just says they're wrong. But as we get to the end, it starts introducing the word tumah. First in Pasuk Yud-Tet, where it's understandable, because it's talking about not having relations with a woman who's
anida.
She is tameh, right? So there it's very understandable. But Pasuk Chaf is where it begins to seem anachronistic. I don't either intentionally use big words, or I even try not to use big words, because I try and talk normal English, but every once in a while, I'm tempted. Yeah, I'm tempted. But you just, I can't speak that way. Getting back to the point. Only a bit. Tad. Sometimes we need to seem pretentious, right? Pasuk Chaf. Vel eshet amit chaloti tein shchafticha. It's going to be like, you know, the dark files. Morty's going to start, you know, mortytorah.org. The dark files, you need a password to get in. There's certain levels of clearance, you know, high security clearance, low security clearance. You know. There's only Morty's files. Anyway. I wasn't serious about that, you know, but it'll happen. Pasuk Chaf. Ve'el eshet amitcha lo titen shchaftecha lezara. When you sleep with your neighbor's wife, you become tameh? You have to go to the mikvah? Yeah. That's when you sleep with your own wife, right? And saying something particularly tummy about it. So from here we see that the notion of tumah applies beyond things that are ritual. See, you guys probably went to modern schools. I mean elementary schools too. See, where'd you go to elementary school? See?
practice it. Darche.
Darche. What do they call the television in Darche?
Tumabox.
Box.
We used to call it Torah box,
but
whatever. Tumabox. They have new terms. Schmutzbox. Tumabox. Tumabox. They used to call it Tumabox. Now I understand. You know, if you touch the television, you have to go to mikvah. What they mean is, in this sense of the word, tuma is being something disgusting, not fine, defiling yourself, maybe not in the ritualistic sense, but in another sense of the word. And that's why it continues to appear. For example, Pasuk of Gimel, v'chol behema lo titein shchavtecha litam ava. And then the summary after all these, Pasuk of Dalet, al titamu v'chol eila. The implication of this tuma is that Eretz Yisrael will spit you out, not necessarily the steer with the Mishkan, but the steer with Eretz Yisrael. Etc. Who's got the idea? Yaakov. Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, Tezria, Mitzora, Achremot. And most of the time we're telling jokes. You see? Now I'm saying it's like, Yes.
What's the Torah?
Jesus kind of has, but also shifts to like, story about the end of Jesus.
If I could put your question in broader context, you want to know when does the Torah use which term? And why are particular terms used in particular places? Chazal have a lot of things about that. For example, Toeva, Chazal say, it's a drash, stands for Toe Atova. You love men. Not you, one loves men. thinks this is like a fraternity loving way of doing things, but it's not. It's Toe Atova. You feel love, but it's not love, right? Toa Ataba. It's like they understand Toeva stands for Toa Ataba.
So I'm saying, what does the word mean like?
Toeva means generally translated as being an abomination.
No, it's the word Toa.
Toa? Make a mistake.
Oh.
Hey, it doesn't like, you don't see how it like shifts from Toa to Toeva?
I don't think it shifts. It only uses the word Toeva once.
Use it. I got the word.
It mentions it again in the summary twice, right? But throughout the time, you meant in the summary when it moves from Tuma to Toeva.
Isn't Tuma with a Tet and Toeva with a Tav?
Yes. That's only part of the reason it's called Drash. Anyway, getting back to the point, Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim. What's the relationship between Kedoshim and Achimas? One comes after, right? Sumira v'asei tov. That is correct, but I want to talk about it in more specific terms, and you're paraphrasing the relationship between Kedusha and Tumah. Meaning, if up till now we're talking about avoiding things that are defiling, it's not just bad and good, right? Now it's not only avoiding things that are defiling, but seeking a higher level. Not only the neutrality of Tara, but Kedusha. Now here too, when you talk about Parshat Kedoshim, it's very similar to what we saw in Perek Yud Ched in the sense that there's a list of things that are included on the rubric of Kedusha, but it does use a phrase of Kedusha, which is why Chazal understood that there's a goal implicit in Kedusha beyond the particular things mentioned, Prushim to you, etc., Rashim. But whatever the explanation is, it begins with the fact that we're using this phrase beyond just giving you the mitzvah. Now, in speaking about the relationship between Kedoshim and Achimot, I'm not going to do it in full today because I think we've reached overload. When you get to this point, you're not taking it in properly. So next week we're going to do fully properly Kedoshim Emor Bahar B'chukosai. I'd be able to spend more time on Bahar B'chukosai, but just to whet our appetite a little bit. What?
Bahar B'chukosai are separate this year.
Israel. We're in Israel? Okay. So perfect. Kedoshim Emor Bahar. Perfect. Maybe we'll even leave a little for Bahar B'chukosai because B'chukosai smells. So we'll figure it out. But anyway, getting back to the point. Getting back to the point, Kedoshim. Part of what can help you ask the question about the relationship between the parshas is the strange way Arayot are dealt with. What do I mean? We just read Perek Yud Ched, we had a whole list of Arayot, right? Perek Yud Ched gives you miscellaneous mitzvot that are all connected to Kedusha, but they're not miscellaneous. We'll talk about it next week. Perek Chaf is about what? Now, by the way, the fact that this answer isn't on the tip of your tongue the week after we've read the parsha. It's by Shulachem. You understand what I mean? It's by Shulachem. Rabbi, we're busy celebrating the State of Israel, and if you don't know the parsha, you got nothing to celebrate. What do you understand, right? So Tzuya, no?
Other Arayot?
Other Arayot. Well, Tzuya is right that it is about Arayot. He's wrong that it's other. It's exactly the same list. Meaning you were trying to give an answer.
What's that? I mean,
Tzvi thinks quicker than people. He already realized it's a riot. Then he asks himself a question, why would it be the same list? I can't give that answer. So he figured, it must be others in another. We're behind you. Give the first answer so we can ask the question, then give your answer. What?
The punishment.
So Shmuel's already giving the answer. I haven't finished asking the question yet. Meaning, it's the same list of riot. So the obvious question is, why repeat it? So Shmuel gives the answer Chazal, which is clearly based on the text. In Perek Chet, Nachremot, we're talking about the Isurim. And in Perek Chaf, in Parashat Kedoshim, we're talking about the Onesh.
It still leaves the question, though.
It still leaves a little bit of a different question, which is, why? If you want to mention both, so say, don't do this, and you'll get killed for it. Make two separate lists. And if you're going to make two separate lists, why do you make it one Perek later? And the answer, obviously, is that in order to get from the first list to the second list, we have to go through the Perek that came in between. And I guess we need the concept of Kedusha in order to get from the Yisr to the Onesh. And what we're going to talk about next week is what Kedusha means and how all the things about Kedusha are structured and flow through the next parashiyot. And it's not coincidental that we're going to talk about Kedusha, Memor, and Bahar together because they're all connected. Because they're all about the Kedusha, the notions of Kedusha that were set down in Parashat Kedusha. Now you have a week to do research on your own and try and figure it out. And next week, we're going to do it. And then we'll do B'chukos, and then we'll start Bamidbar. It'll be cool. Like from the beginning, we'll start it together. It'll be fun. Everyone's invited. I continue on Thursdays in the summer giving parashas. We'll put it online. We go put it online. Morty will get it. It's not fair. It's only fair that Morty was putting on for other people, and summer it'll be put on for Morty, right? Morty will gather wherever it is in the summer, 11:30, right after the shiur. Sit down. This probably won't get on right away. I don't think it's right away. Figure it out.
11:30.
I usually give it 10:30 cam time, which is 11:30 sit down. Oh, well, no, it's well because you're here until it'll be Friday. Friday. If they put it up at night. If they have to find something to put it up that night, so if Mordechai can sit down in the morning, Friday morning. I don't know what happens Friday morning. I'm Shmuel. Maybe make a little parsha chug there. Parsha chug.
Give it to the guy. But everybody's a mashar.